All right, well, good morning, guys. I'm gonna make sure that the screen is working. And I just wanted to say, I'm so thankful that I am here this morning with you guys, able to have the opportunity, like you said, to really step into what the Lord is calling me and where the Lord is calling Hannah through the Preaching and Music Ambassadors. I'm a youth ministry major, so speaking to your youth pastor resonates heavy with me. Because I am just feel called directly to serving the youth in that way over at Olivet. And thank you. Yeah, I would like to start with prayer and then giving a little promo over to Olivet. But if all you guys would bow your heads and close your eyes. Dear Lord, I just want to say thank you so much for this opportunity, Lord. Lord, I pray that your presence would be in this place, Lord. We invite you, Lord. God, I just pray that everything that you are speaking into my life, Lord, that the things that you want me to speak out to this congregation, Lord, that would stick in our hearts, stick in our minds, Lord. Lord, I am so thankful. Lord, I pray for hearts in this room, Lord, today. I pray that you would soften hearts because only you can, Lord Jesus. So thank you, God. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Hello, church. Okay, so I want to talk about this day where I went grocery shopping. So for me, I remember, I remember going to this grocery store, and I was looking for something real, like real groceries, guys. And I was walking in there, and I saw the one thing that my heart really desired, and that was Twinkies. Come on. So with all the soft gold, spongy cake and everything, I saw it and I just remember thinking like, oh geez, I gotta keep walking. I cannot stop here. And it's not that I think Twinkies are bad or anything. But it was just something that wasn't going to satisfy me. Especially when I needed some real groceries, like chicken, rice, eggs, maybe even vegetables if I was feeling extra spiritually mature. I had to walk past, and 5 minutes later, I'm leaving, and I'm like, dang, I got a big W in here. I won, and I won because I had walked out with two boxes of Twinkies and no actual groceries. And that's why they say, do not go grocery shopping when you are hungry. So I learned the hard way. But I got home and I realized something. It was not what I needed. Not that Twinkies are evil, like I said, but it's just not actually going to satisfy. It made me think, though. It made me think through, not because I think the snack was horrible, but because I think that's something that I do more than just with snacks. It made me ask two questions I've been sitting with. What do I actually rely on to fill me? And what am I actually running to that can't satisfy me? And I would love if we could sit with these two questions today. And remind ourselves these throughout this sermon. In chapter 4 of John, if you guys have your Bibles, I would love if you guys can open up to chapter 4. This woman had been asking herself this exact same question her entire life of fulfillment. So verse 7 to 10 says, "When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, 'Will you give me a drink?' His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, 'You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans.' Jesus answered her, 'If you knew the gifts of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water.'" This Samaritan woman goes to the well at the worst time of the day. She goes when it was the hardest time to travel and the hottest time to travel, when that was very unusual. Most people would have gone and looked for the coolest time of day. But she came to the well with no one, no voices, no laughter, no help carrying her water, but just the heat, the dust, and the sound of the buckets hitting the bottom of the well. Why would someone go out of their way to make a journey as hard as possible? See, maybe it's because people don't choose the hardest time of day unless they are trying not to be seen. See, some of us, I believe, know this feeling. Some of us understand what it's like to choose an empty place. Not because we want to be alone, but just maybe because we feel that we were never being seen in the first place. And this is exactly what's wrong with the wrong well. See, what it does in our life is the wrong well will promise relief. It will promise this satisfaction, but leave you just more in pain and more desperate. Throughout her life, and maybe even some of our own, we've been trying to run to this well that we think is going to finally give us relief and true peace. But the problem is, those wells never satisfy. They may reveal something or reveal themselves as something that is enticing or maybe joyful, but the wrong well will just leave you more in pain. And so Jesus is saying, what Jesus says next is really what changes like everything. He says, if you knew the gifts of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Jesus is basically saying, he says, if you knew who I am, you'd ask me. So here's my question. Why aren't we asking? Why do we keep running back to the well that keeps us empty? Why do we go straight to fixing everything and carrying our own problems rather than running straight to the Father? Her entire life up to this point was shaped by thirst, by trying to be filled by something that wasn't going to last. Jesus sees this, and he doesn't shame her for this, but what he does is he invites her into something greater. Do you truly believe that he is our living water, or do you just know that he is? See, I think if you believe that he is our living water, we would ask him. We would seek him as the true and only source. But let's be honest. Do you believe that you believe that he's a living source, or do you just know it's true? Because what you're running to when you're struggling, when you're tired, when you're anxious, and even when you're empty and alone, that right there, like that's your well. And that's exactly where the woman is in verse 11 through 12. It says, sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did also his son and his livestock? What Jesus is offering us is not just better water, or water that makes our life easier, but what he offers is true fulfillment. I believe that most of us are not rejecting Jesus, and I'd like to say, like, amen for that. But I do believe that a lot of us in our life decide to reduce him. And so I created this thing that I like to call Pocket Jesus. So it is this saying for a Jesus that we can use to improve our life. And even then, I would say most of us would be using our iPhones more than we would be using Jesus in that instance. I mean, really, like how many of us bottle up Jesus? How many of us feel like we are pick and choosing Jesus for when we feel like we want to use him or for a desire or for something that we want him to fix for us? Not just the big or the small, but what Jesus wants is it all. Verse 13 through 14. Jesus answered, everyone who drinks the water will be thirsty again. See, for me, before I knew Christ, I remember I was chasing sin through attention and trying to fit in with all the other popular kids in my high school. See, I'd quit sports to fully focus on the things of this world. But I realized that the things I believed would fill me were actually just leaving me feeling more alone, more depressed, and more of a toll on my back. I had to carry all of my own burdens in that instance. But in the very next verse, it says, "But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." And in the same way, I know that what I was chasing was not going to do what only God could do. I remember being in the gym one day, and I had a friend who saw me struggling, and he asked. He said, "Hey, man, like, how are you doing?" And for the first time ever, I actually told him, and the first time I actually told anyone, how I truly felt, what I was truly facing in my life. And I told him, "I'm struggling. And everything that I feel like I was chasing, my own power, all the things that I thought would finally do it for me, just left me feeling more empty." And somehow, I don't fully know how, but we started talking about Jesus. And I don't remember a lot about this conversation, but what I do know is I remember looking at him and saying, "Man, like, if this Jesus thing is true, if this God thing is real, I need him more than anything in my life." And so he invited me to his youth group. I didn't walk into youth group like I had arrived spiritually, but I walked in like someone who was done pretending. And that's exactly where she is. She doesn't even fully get what Jesus is offering her in this moment, but she is desperate enough to ask. Verse 15 says, "The woman said to him, 'Sir, give me this water, so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water.'" She says, "Give me this water." She's basically saying, like, "Jesus, like, I'm tired. And Jesus, if you want to make my life easier then and more convenient, then go all at it. Like, give me that, because that's really what I want." And I love what Jesus does next. He doesn't hand her just a shortcut. I mean, actually, right now, in my dorm room, I have a cool little whiteboard, and I have written on there, it says, God did not, like, disappear, like, take away the Red Sea, but what he did is he made a way through it. And I think he's doing the same thing here. He doesn't just make her day easier. Jesus offers something deeper, not a way out of her life, but a new source of life within her. So when she asks for the water, Jesus goes straight to the place where her thirst had been hiding this entire time. Verse 16 through 17, it says, "He told her, 'Go, call your husband and come back.' She said, 'I have no husband,' she replied. Jesus said to her, 'You are right when you say that you have no husband.'" Jesus says, "Go and call your husband." And this feels like a sharp turn from what we were just talking about. Like Jesus, like, we were just talking about water. What are we doing now? Like, we're going to talk about, like, husbands and stuff like that. Like, what's going on here? But with this woman, she's really struggling. And what she does is she asks Jesus to help her out of the external issues. So what Jesus goes and reveals is something greater. Something that she needs straightened out from not externally, but internally. He digs a little deeper. And he does it in a very cool way. I think we need something that is going to help us see where we have been going. And this is what I believe Jesus is trying to do here. He's revealing to this woman what she had been relying on and choosing. He already knew what she had been choosing. And in verse 17, it literally says, it said, "You are right." Like, that's crazy. Like, Jesus, he looked at her and, like, imagine you, like, take a moment to just really think about that. Like, your deepest and darkest sin that you've been hiding away from everyone. And he's like, "Dude, I know. Like, I knew this entire time when we had this conversation. I understand you." But what's the best part of it all is that even though he knows the anger that she might have had. He knows the disobedience. He knows the ways that she may think that she had let God down. He still calls her worthy. He still says, you can have it all, before she says, you can have it all. That's the one thing I really don't get about us. We say that we know God, but we still choose to believe that we are not good enough. Or maybe that we are not worth his time or his effort. But he says in Matthew 9:11, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. Jesus is saying that we need to come to him even when we feel farthest. Jesus is calling out the sickness. He's calling to the people in need, the people who are sick. Verse 10, it says, Jesus answered her, if you know the gifts of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. See, do you really believe that he is our living water? God is not looking at us as these sickly beings that don't deserve his healing. But what he says is in Acts 10:38, he says, he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil. We have a God who sees where we have been weighed down. He sees where we feel alone. He sees where every time that we want to give up and even times that we do give up, and he cares. We have a God who draws near to the brokenhearted. We have a God who doesn't just witness our pain and sufferings, but he weeps and he sorrows beside us. Thanks be to our God, our Savior, for not identifying us by our sin, but recognizing it and still calling us by name. A God who meets with us. Look at what she does. Verse 19 and 20 says, sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain. But you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. And I see what she's trying to do here. She immediately changes the subject. She goes, okay, where are we supposed to worship now? See, like on this mountain or in Jerusalem? And isn't that something that we do? When Jesus gets a little too close, when he gets a little too personal, when we feel maybe a little convicted, we try to reach for something a little safer. We would rather talk about church things than talk about our heart. We would rather debate religions than live a life of surrender. But Jesus doesn't ignore her. He digs just a little deeper. 21 through 24, it says, woman, Jesus replied, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers that the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worship must worship in the Spirit and in truth. Jesus says, is saying, worship is not all about where you are, but it's about who you're giving yourself to. Then he says something that I think we should all be really like pulling us in. He says the Father is seeking. So God is not passively waiting, but what he says is that he is pursuing worshipers. He's pursuing those who come to him in authenticity. Then he says true worship is in spirit and in truth. Truth means I stop pretending. Truth means I stop hiding. Truth means I admit what I've been really drinking from, what well I've been really running to. And spirit means it's not just words. It's from the heart. It's not performance. It's not pocket Jesus. It's not any of that, but it's true and real surrender. In 25 through 26, the woman said, I know the Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, He will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, I am he. And that's it. This woman came to the well looking for water. She came looking for an external thing. And she met the one that her soul was truly thirsting for. So here's how I want to end this. Jesus is not a tool to make our life easier. He's not some pocket Jesus to pull out when we feel desperate. He is a living water, the source. And I'm not asking if you know him, but I'm asking, are you seeking him as your source? Do you actually rely on him? Because whatever you run to when you're empty, that's your real well. But Jesus is standing right there, like the Samaritan, with the Samaritan woman. And he's saying, like, if you know who I am, you'd ask. So today, let's ask. If everyone would bow their head and close their eyes. Jesus, I'm tired of being thirsty. I'm tired of running back to the empty well. I don't want to reduce you down to pocket Jesus, Lord. Lord, I just want you. Lord, I just pray to you now, asking to be filled by you, Lord. Even when I feel like I don't deserve it, Lord, I pray that you would clean me, not just from my external issues, but that you would clean me from the inside out, that you would make something new in me. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.